This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They always do a great job at Purdy Insurance, making sure you're fully insured and finding ways to save you money because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Received a disturbing email yesterday.
Uh-oh.
He wanted to know if Matt was the public address announcer for Bucknell football.
I do believe he is.
Yeah, I said yes. Right. They said, they said, is that the same guy who whines on the air? I'm like, oh, geez.
They keep him in check at Bucknell.
Yeah, they do everything they can. Slow him down. Now, what time is he gracing us with his presence today?
We are normal time today. 1:15.
Eastern time?
All right. As far as I know.
Oh, just the worst. And then we have Neil today, and we have Lauren Tate today. Lauren Tate has covered Illinois football for decades. He's 90 years old now. And as sharp as ever. In fact, I'm joining Lauren and Steve Kelly on the Illinois pregame show Saturday morning. We're going to have him on today. He's a gem. He is a gem. So he will join us today as well. So we probably should take a break early in the ball game here, because we probably have to like leave the runway open. Do you sometimes leave when he's talking?
If I have podcasts to do.
Yeah, I mean, because I usually like I'll be working on the next game while he's talking. What? Sure, it sounds evil. All right, we'll take a break.
I was going to say, your questions are too pointed not to be paying some attention.
My favorite always is, well, he speaks highly of you. He hates that. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Woo!
right, here he is. That's all I could muster up. Here he is.
Oh, I'm here, all right.
Where do we start?
Well, before we get to the elephant in the room, I did want to kind of pick your brain on how you feel about this, even though I think I know the answer to this. Because all I've seen is ever since James Franklin made the announcement during the post-game press conference to bring the wide-out energy for Saturday night against Illinois, everybody's kind of blaming Fox Big Noon Kick for kind of throwing off the vibe as to what games should be what in terms of the themes and things like that at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
And I do tend to agree with that. I mean, it's one thing if the product was actually good, but the broadcast is pretty good itself. I mean, I don't mind Gus Johnson for the most part. I think Joel Klatt's great. I think Jenny Taft does a good job. But that pregame show, along with all the other sports talk shows in Fox Sports, TV or radio, I think I've said this before, is the same old lazy hot take type of narrative that is just nauseating. And it's just not fun to listen or watch anymore. And that's what gets me, is Fox tries to compete with all these legitimately good shows like a College Game Day, and everything else just absolutely stinks on Fox Sports programming. You know what Fox Sports is good at? NFL. And the NFL on Fox, and the Sunday Fox NFL Sunday, to me, is the best that they will ever have, and nobody's ever going to top that. That's pretty much all they have. The rest is just garbage. So it's one thing there. I don't think there is no good way to fix it, because that's just the way college sports is now, with everybody competing for the best game, money out the wazoo and whatnot. But I do kind of hate the way it's gone too, because to me, the best wideout game, obviously, if it's not Ohio State, to me it should be UCLA. I mean, the first time that they're going to be meeting in what I think it's 58 years, and that's a big noon game. So that gets thrown out. So I don't like it either, but there's no way to get around it, I don't think, anymore, unfortunately.
Well, I talked to Guido D'Elia about this, and he said back in the day they could talk to the networks and really work out which game was the whiteout game. He said you can't do that anymore. He said that it's made it much more difficult today to do based on how they go about things. And to me, I know Big Noon Kickoff, I understand what the Fox, the pregame show, I know nothing about. I mean, have I met the guys? Yeah, I've met the guys, because when it's been a Big Noon Kickoff, they've been around Penn State. So, like, for example, Brady Quinn, somebody asked me, is he a decent guy? Brady Quinn, to his credit, is a great guy, right? Like him a lot. Yeah, you know, Leinart's fine, you know, and so forth. Rob Stone's a great guy. But I've never really seen the show. So, and I don't watch any pregame shows. I could really care less when anybody... I just want to watch the game. So I don't watch the pregame shows. I don't care what headgear Lee Corso puts on ESPN. It's a great shtick. But you actually have people that take it seriously, including ESPN. But they can't... Fox wins the noon slot. You know, the primary slots are noon, 3:30, 7:30, if you want to throw in 10:30. Well, ESPN wins 3:30, 7:30. And they'll win it this week, too, because Alabama-Georgia is a 7:30 game. But Big Noon Kickoff is where Fox wins. And that's why they've been putting those games there. I feel like Fox, though, misses out on an opportunity to showcase the whiteout on their network, which I think could be, like, you put Ohio State on as the whiteout game in prime time and not at noon, I think their ratings are going to be exponentially higher than when you put them on at noon. That's just me. I just feel like they're
100%.
Missing an opportunity. But they don't have that time slot. They have NBC as that time slot. So they're not going to give it up. I mean, I wouldn't give it up. But the networks are the reason why for the first time in my lifetime, Penn State goes into the West Virginia game, and all the other times are listed as TBD? Really? I guess we knew what Bowling Green was. But the other 10 kickoffs were TBD going into the West Virginia game? 10 TBD
kickoffs?
Yeah, and
I know you and I have talked about that before, and that's the other big issue with this is the waiting is absolutely ridiculous to not know literally until 10 days or sometimes even less we've had in the past of knowing what network and what time the game's going to be.
Yeah, so, but, but Guido made a great point to me, and he said, we used to be able to really work it out with the networks about this is the game that should be the whiteout game. He said now, he says, we can come up with ideas, but in the end, we have to wait for them to tell us how the schedule's going to play out. He said, we have very little control over it anymore.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but unfortunately that's the way it is. But I had to get that off my chest because I do agree with that because, you know me, I'm not a big fan of a lot of, basically 95% of Fox Sports programming, TV or radio. But as for the elephant in the room, let's just start with the game itself. As I posted on X afterwards, that was one of the strangest and dumbest games I have ever seen, and I literally lost brain cells watching that game, which doesn't happen very often. Like, that is a first, that I lost brain cells watching an NFL football game, but I did. And for the Eagles to win like that, it's an amazing win and amazingly bad win at the same time, which, again, is uncharted territory, but that's just how that game was. And having said that, I don't care if the Eagles won this game or not, because of the way the game was going, Nick Sirianni still needs to be coaching for his job. Now, if they had lost this game, I would say if the game didn't go well in Tampa next week, then I would say you need to make a coaching change at the bye. So I'm not going to go that far yet, win or lose, and no matter how bad or ugly or good it might be. Because the fact that the way that they came back, it does tell me that, yes, and the way things were in the post-game locker room, though, I think some people didn't handle themselves quite as well as others, it still tells me that this locker room is still playing for Nick Sirianni. And as long as that's still there, then he deserves to continue to ride it out. But the minute it stops, then you got to make a change. I don't care what point of the season it is, because to me, Nick Sirianni is basically at the cliff-hanging point of his tenure. And he would have been off the cliff had the Eagles lost that game on Sunday. And he's very lucky that he did. Which brings me to this. After the game itself, Nick Sirianni goes in there, obviously forgetting about how the game went and the last couple of seasons have gone for him. And he goes into the media and has the audacity to say, okay, let me tell you what your first question is. Let me guess what your first question is. I'm thinking to myself, are you serious? You're lucky that you just won that football game after that is the most disastrous game I've ever seen a head coach have, and that's the way you act with the media the minute you come in? And then just the whole time, the way he talked about Jalen Hurts and himself, I mean, it was arrogant upon arrogant right there. And listen, I know, I guess if you're going to go down, you're going to go down fighting, but just read the room. That's one thing Nick Sirianni definitely has not done, is read the room. Know that you got lucky. You're lucky that you're still the head coach of this football team. Just answer the questions and get out. There's no need to bring all these extra antics and things like that. There's not. And so that really was the final straw for me, if there already wasn't one, was the way he acted post-game in that press conference. So, Eagles got the win. Great. I'll take any win you can get. A win is a win in the National Football League, as they always say, and I do get, but I don't know how long this is going to last. The one coherent thing he actually did say is, this is not sustainable. Oh, geez. You finally got that right. At least, well, that's good. And, I don't even know how the Eagles are going to come out on Sunday. I don't know how this is going to go, because I feel like this is also one of those games where they expelled so much energy in that game, and it became such an emotional win that you come into Tampa next week, are you going to have that same energy? And Tampa got embarrassed by a bad Denver team at home. So they're going to be coming out next week with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. So I don't think, and then if you lose again in 2-2, you go into the bye, then it cycles back to where does this team go from here? So as amazingly good and bad of a win it is, the Eagles still have a lot of major problems, in my opinion.
Oh, you're done. Okay. Do you take like one big deep breath and go, or?
I guess that's what I've been known to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. For one thing, it's not a question of reading the room. I think it's called false bravado. And
yeah, I guess that is a better way to say it. Yes.
And false bravado to me is one of those where I sit there and go, who are you trying to convince, me or you? Like, who are you
exactly
trying to convince,
right,
me or you? And when he keeps talking about we're trying to regain our mojo from 2 years ago with the fourth down thing, teams change. Personnel changes. You coach to your personnel. You don't square peg and round hole what you're doing here. You have to coach your four. I have no problem with going for it on fourth downs based on time, score, and situation. He just does it to do it, which doesn't take into account time, doesn't take into account score, and doesn't take into account situation. He's 0 for 3 when he does that stuff. He just does it to do it. And that is the wrong way to do it.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, and you can just tell kind of with the locker room, though they are, I think they are still playing for him. I feel like it's also kind of on a cliffhanger, too, that maybe it was more about playing for each other, and I guess for Devontae Smith after the big hit that he took and he left the game, than it was playing for Nick. But that's kind of hard for me to look at, because I still feel like you have to. That's an unbelievable amount of love for a teammate if you're going to play that hard, and if it is, great, but I still find that a slightly hard to believe that if you don't believe in the coach, you're still going to fight hard even whether you love your teammates or not. But if it is, kudos to them. But I just still think everything's kind of really on a cliffhanger right now. And this is the other thing too with Sirianni that you mentioned, and let's go into the fourth down stuff. He flat out said, also, well, actually, it was yesterday. It was Monday press conference, so it wasn't post game. But he said on that fourth and four call, he said that was his decision to go with the wrinkle of the tush push, and it wasn't Kellen Moore's decision. And he said sometimes on fourth down calls, I will not only make the decision, then I'll make the play call. Well, I don't think that's what a CEO is supposed to do. And this is why I didn't buy that nonsense from day one when he said he was just going to act like the CEO and let the two coordinators do anything. I trust their coordinators. Because he's too arrogant not to. And I know his guy's nature by now. Yeah. He's only been here for 4 years, but I know his nature by now.
No, but the head coach, no matter what, no matter what, the head coach is always the one that makes the decision where they're going fourth down. Always.
No,
the coordinators do not make that call.
If he's really going to be a CEO, then he should let Kellen Moore call the play. He can make the decision to make the fourth down call. I understand that. But he shouldn't be making the actual play call itself. That should be Kellen Moore's job.
Right. I agree with that. But he is the only one that has to make that decision there. The coordinator never makes the decision where they go, we're going. No, we're not.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, but I'm just saying I have a problem with him making the actual play call. It's one thing to make a decision. That's fine because you're the head coach. You're supposed to make that decision. But let your offensive coordinator still do his job in that spot.
Normally what happens is they'll tell the coordinator is on second down because of either time, score, situation, including situation being spot on the field. Hey, Kellen, okay, I want to go for it on fourth down here. So that determines your third down call. So There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Recovery mode.
I just assume you went outside for some nice cleansing breaths.
I just needed fresh air after that. Oh, yeah, what are we doing? Plus, I got four texts from the Sirianni family. All right, so had to answer them during the break.
From an undisclosed location, I would assume.
Yes. It was not the NovaCare Center. All right. In fact, I was thinking it was someplace in Jersey. All right. Last week, we were talking about the Pac-12 expansion. And which team did I label as... potentially the next school that I label as the next one to potentially go to the Pac-12?
UNLV.
I said Utah State.
Utah State.
UNLV is the linchpin.
Yes.
They're the linchpin. Utah State would be next. Utah State announced last night they're going. So now they're up to 7. And not only are they up to 7, the Mountain West is down to 7. The linchpin is going to be UNLV. UNLV, of course, the Thomas and Mack Center for basketball, great. They now play in Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play for football. Las Vegas is the hot market. And if they go... if they go, now the Mountain West has some big issues. Also, Gonzaga looks like they're going to go for basketball. Well, that's fine. I mean, Gonzaga doesn't have football. That's a big blow to the West Coast Conference.
Gonzaga also gets to go, and they get the football money.
Yes, they get a full share. That's right. Right, exactly. That's a great point. They do.
That AD and or president better get a beautiful house in, I can't, what town in Washington is Gonzaga?
Spokane,
that's right.
Spokane, in the eastern part of the state. All right. Now, remember, the Mountain West and the Pac-12 we're talking about, when I mean the Pac-12, Oregon State, Washington State, we're talking about a scheduling agreement. Well, now they're going to court. Pac-12 filed a legal complaint on Tuesday over millions of dollars in penalties that the Mountain West believes it is owed for the acquisition of 5 schools, describing the penalties as unlawful, unenforceable, and a violation of antitrust law. The league made the filing this morning in the U.S. District Court of Northern California. Pac-12 and Mountain West, often thought as, quote, sister leagues, are at the center of the latest conference realignment shakeup. They've already acquired 5 schools, the latest being Utah State. The suit filed Tuesday is related to a poaching penalty that was included in a scheduling agreement that the two conferences entered into last year. Aware of the Pac-12's possible plans to rebuild with Mountain West members, the league commissioner, Gloria Nevarez, included the penalty agreement as a disincentive. I'm of the opinion it didn't work. The suit is not related to the exit fee of $17 million per school. The poaching penalty is $10 million for the first school acquired from the Mountain West and increases by $1 million for each additional school the Pac-12 acquires. So,
is that $48
million? Well, no, it's got to be $54 million, right?
Okay.
It's got to be $54
million. 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Or just 10, 11, 12, 13. Four schools, right?
Yeah, it's five schools.
Five schools.
So I guess it's got to be higher than 50, 54. So it's got to be, what, 21, which then becomes 33, which then becomes 46, which then becomes 59. It becomes 60, $60 million. So it's $60 million. Okay. After the Pac-12's addition of Boise, Fresno, San Diego State, Colorado State, the Mountain West said the Pac-12 needed to pay $43 million in liquidated damages. Now they have Utah State.
Okay.
The complaint details reasons that the penalty is unlawful. One, it restrains trade. Two, its only goal is to distort competition and lock in schools from leaving for a competitor. Its damages are excessive and unreasonable to the amount the Mountain West may be harmed from its loss of member schools. Well, now the Mountain West has to go out and get a school to get to eight. So they've been damaged. Now, each departing school does owe at least $17 million in exit fees. So the Mountain West is going to get, what, $85 million? Does that sound right? From five schools?
Yes.
Thank you. At the heart of the complaint is the scheduling agreement. Pac-12 agreed to pay the Mountain West $14 million for each school to play six games. They were in intense negotiations over the summer to continue the agreement. Before the talks stalled over price, the Mountain West wanted $30 million for the same amount of games. In its complaint, the Pac-12 asserts the Mountain West imposed the poaching penalty on a disadvantaged and desperate conference attempting to find competition for hundreds of athletes at Oregon State, Washington State. The two schools acknowledged during negotiations that the penalty was unenforceable and illegal. The complaint says, in the wake of this mass exodus from the Pac-12 caused by fierce competition from rival conferences and the fact that they've got way more money, all right, the Pac-12 has only months to salvage the 24-25 season. Okay. There you go.
I did think it was interesting they went to the AAC schools first.
Well, that's where the comparable schools are.
Yeah. Well, I mean in the Pac-12.
Well, the Pac-12?
Yeah, they asked Memphis and three other schools, yeah. And then they came out and said that they were going to stay in the AAC yesterday.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you've got to be able to get a handle on travel.
Yeah.
Because you are not the $75 to $85 million per year television conference where you can handle travel financially easier as opposed to the Pac-12 where, yeah, is it a trip from Pullman to San Diego? Sure. Is it a trip from Corvallis to Fort Collins? Yeah. But at least it's better than making a trip to Tennessee to play Memphis. Tulane's attractive because going to New Orleans is fun. I don't know how much fun the rest of it is, but it's fun.
Oh, maybe, I guess that means there's not a FedEx hub in Pullman. That might have been easier if Memphis entered.
Right, exactly. So, that's what they're doing. This is, again, A for survival, A plus for survival, C plus for membership. These are not earth-shattering moves, unless you're the Mountain West commissioner. Now they're earth-shattering because now you have to make up for it, right? You have to figure out how to make up for it. But in terms of the landscape of college football and basketball, it is not earth-shattering at all. It is, okay, you made moves. One more school, you have eight. I mean, that's, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, earth-shattering. USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, earth-shattering. SMU, Cal, Stanford, not so much. Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado. Okay. Earth moved. Not earth shattering, but the earth moved. And, you know, and this doesn't move the needle at all. Just keeps them alive. Again, A plus for survival, C plus for membership.
If they do get UNLV, will they be able to keep... They can't keep the rest of the conferences from playing stuff there, right?
That stuff's all past the...
That's what I thought.
That's all past the boards now. You don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. I mean, the NCAA is going to put NCAA basketball tournament games in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Right, I meant more just because, you know, the Big Ten's going to play their tournament. Not the gambling part of it, just to keep... You know, kind of an exclusivity for their tournament.
They have so many arenas in Las Vegas. Yeah. I think there were five conference tournaments there 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they had five conference tournaments there. You know, the West Coast Conference goes there. The Pac-12 went there. The Big West went there. They had like five different conference tournaments in Las Vegas. So there's no exclusivity. There's no exclusivity. In fact, everybody wants to go there. Right? I mean, the suit has a winter home in Henderson. All right.
He's not sharing.
Hey, excuse me, when's the last time that happened?
Well. Good point.
I bought dinner for everybody. Could you kick in for the tip? All of a sudden, he opens his wallet. A moth flies out. It's just not a good look. Right, and this is at Sonic. All right. Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah, that's, I mean, again, A plus for survival, C plus for membership. Okay. ACC, C plus for expansion. Big 12, A plus for survival. I would say a B for membership. You can't lose Texas and Oklahoma and say that you're just as well off by having Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, and Colorado. Can you?
No.
No. No. So. Oh, well. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Neil Coulong, next half hour, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Oh, goodness gracious. Great to have you with us on the show today. We'll do our high school roundtable, of course, later in the week. As you know, the suit is currently out of commission. Physically, I mean, mentally, that's been a story for a long time. What?
The same thought I had. You just expressed it.
Does it bother you? You're starting to think more like me.
Yes and no.
Just asking. Just asking. Yeah, what the heck? The Washington Commanders last night, Jaden Daniels became the first rookie quarterback to throw a touchdown pass this year. He had a tremendous game last night. Picked apart Cincinnati. Cincinnati could not stop the Washington offense at all. And remember, this is a team that won its first game not scoring a touchdown. I mean, they won their first game over the Giants and did not score a touchdown. It was all 7 field goals. Well, I mean, credit where credit's due. Daniels played marvelous last night. I mean, Josh Allen and the Bills picked apart Jacksonville. Okay, not a surprise. Jacksonville just hasn't been playing well going back to last year. But Daniels was the revelation last night. Now the question will be, can he follow it up? Yeah, which is the natural question anyway you're going to have. Okay, it's simple as that. But, you know, McLaurin's a really good player, always has been a really good player. They've got a nice running game. And guess what? The Commanders are 2-1. And I know when I look at Philadelphia, I think at minimum they'll be 5-1 against the division, which gives them a leg up on where they're going in the playoffs. But my question is going to be, who's the one against? Is it Washington or Dallas? And I'd be more inclined to say it's Washington. Their defense is playing well. They don't give up a lot. And against the Giants, they did give up 3 touchdowns. But, you know, but they only gave up the 18 points on the 3 touchdowns. Last night they gave up some points, no question. But Daniels made up for it every time. There wasn't a single drive. Really, I mean, essentially, there wasn't really a drive that Cincinnati stopped Washington last night. Daniels played great. You know, had the great instinct of when to run, when not to run, delivered accurate balls. I mean, he looked like the Heisman Trophy winner.
I mean, it is amazing how far he's come. You know, that used to be the 10 o'clock game a lot on ESPN late at night.
Arizona State,
and the strides that he made from 3 years ago to now is amazing.
It really is. Give him credit. You could see when he went to LSU that things were starting to fall into place, and then in his second year there, he ends up winning the Heisman. Now, some people wonder if maybe he won it because of the talent around him. Malik Nabers ended up being a first-round pick of the Giants and was a big reason why the Giants beat Cleveland on Sunday. But he was accurate. I don't care whether it's the short ball or the deep ball. He was accurate. He knew when to move in the pocket to make a play. He knew when to leave the pocket and run. His judgment was outstanding last night. And I think Washington fans have probably not been this excited about their quarterback since RG3 was in his rookie year.
I was going to say, there was about a month's worth of RG3, and then when before that?
Yeah. Yeah, his rookie year, boy, were they eating it up. And justifiably so, he was playing great. And then he got, what, it was the hit against the Ravens, if I remember correctly. And that was it. Never really came back from that. But that's the last time I would think that Washington fans would be excited about the quarterback they have. He was, it's a game. So let's see how he follows it up. Because like anything, you know, they're putting stuff on video. Well, he and Washington are going to have to adjust to that at some point. All right, they're doing this now to counter what we're doing. But right now, that's exciting. That's exciting. And I think it's great for Washington. And in a league that is desperate to find somebody exciting at quarterback, because the league is desperate to find somebody like that.
I don't know. After last night, I'm beginning to question Trevor Lawrence. So,
well, no, Trevor Lawrence should be questioned.
Yeah, Hamilton's interception, I mean, that was an airmailed pass. That guy was wide open.
Yep. I mean, that was just an absolute miss. Now, for all we know, maybe the receiver ran and shallowed the route. I mean, the receiver may have shallowed the route.
Yeah.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate here. But Josh Allen was great. The two quarterbacks that won last night were terrific. Josh Allen played a great game. Jaden Daniels played a great game. Joe Burrow was fine. Trevor Lawrence was not. League is desperate for quarterbacks. And maybe Washington has found one of them.